Luke's Gospel, chapter 23. So we think about the seven sayings of the Savior from the cross. The second saying is found in Luke chapter 23, verse 43, where Jesus said, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." And so tonight, we want to think about the promise of paradise, the promise of paradise. This was the day of all days, the event of all events. There had never been a day quite like this day, nor would there ever be a day again quite like this day. For on this day, Calvary's Hill, outside the gates of Jerusalem, the Son of God suffered and bled and died. And in His passion, He paid the sin debt for you and for me, and for all who would trust in Him. And on that day, before the day was done, Jesus walked arm in arm through the gates of glory with a redeemed thief. What a Savior. There were three crosses and three men on those three crosses. Jesus was on that center cross, and on one side was a condemned criminal, and on the other was a second condemned criminal, and in the center was the sinless one, the Savior, the Lord Jesus. There were three who died that day. There was one who died in his sin. There was one who died delivered from his sin. And there was Jesus who died for our sins. Luke records it this way, if you'll follow, please, beginning in verse 35, and we'll read through verse 43. Luke 23, verses 35 through 43. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Christ of God, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine, vinegar, and said, "If you are the King of the Jews, save yourself." There was a written notice above him which read, "This is the King of the Jews." And one of the criminals who hung there hurled insults at him, "Aren't you the Christ? Save yourself and us." But the other criminal rebuked him. "Don't you fear God," he said, "since we are under the same sentence. We are punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve, but this man has done nothing wrong." Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Jesus answered him, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." What an incredible event is recorded for us in Luke's account of the crucifixion. As we think tonight about the promise of paradise, I want you to see with me, first of all, that this passage teaches us that salvation is by grace. If there ever was a passage that teaches us that salvation is exclusively, uniquely, entirely by grace, certainly this passage teaches that. Now, the testimony of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation is that salvation is by grace through faith in Christ. In fact, we're told specifically in Ephesians 2, "For it is by grace that you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." But here we see in Luke's account of the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, the clearest demonstration that salvation is by grace to be found anywhere. For what we find here is the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ of forgiveness and life and paradise to a condemned criminal. This man had been arrested and charged with insurrection and murder. He was, by all accounts, known as an evil and wicked man. He was worthy of the crucifixion which he was enduring. In fact, this man acknowledges as much in verse 41. He rebukes the other criminal and says, "We are being punished justly, for we are getting what our deeds deserve." If there ever was an individual that did not deserve to go to heaven, it was this repentant thief. Here we learn that salvation is by grace. It is not by works. This thief could do no works. He had no opportunity to do works. His life was ebbing away. Within a matter of hours, he would be in eternity. He could not perform deeds of kindness to people in need. He could not study the Torah, the Word of God, in the synagogue. He could not carry out the commands of God that are found in the Old Testament. His salvation was by God's grace alone. Now, this says to us, among other things, that baptism, while important, is not necessary for eternal life. We Baptists are big on baptism. It's in our name. We believe in it. We believe in baptism at this church. We practice baptism almost every Sunday. We believe that a person who is saved by the Lord Jesus Christ should publicly confess his or her faith in Jesus through the waters of believer's baptism, because the Scripture teaches such. Jesus commanded us to go and make disciples of all the nations. And when those persons became his disciples, they were to be baptized. Baptism is significant. Baptism is important. But let us not make baptism more important than the Scripture makes it. Baptism is not essential for salvation. Now, it is a puzzle to me that a person who had professed faith in Jesus Christ and was able-bodied and had opportunity to be baptized would refuse baptism. That's another matter altogether. But it is possible, according to this account of what took place at the cross, for a person to have a deathbed conversion and not have opportunity to be baptized and to be saved. So salvation is by grace. To those who would say to us that you must repent and believe and be baptized, we would simply point them to the thief on the cross. The Lord's Supper is important. There are some groups who would say to us that you must take the Lord's Supper in order to have your sins forgiven, and you must do it again and again. And we certainly value the Lord's Supper and practice the Lord's Supper. But this thief had no opportunity to take the Lord's Supper. Salvation is by grace. This thief had no opportunity to join a church. A saved man or woman ought to be a member of the fellowship of believers and serve the Lord in the fellowship of the New Testament church. But he had no such opportunity. And so while we magnify the ordinances of baptism and the Lord's Supper, and while we lift up the significance of being a part of a local fellowship of believers, a New Testament church, we clearly understand that the Scripture teaches that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Salvation is by grace. Now there's a second truth I want you to see here in this passage, and that is that salvation is for believers only. Salvation is for believers only. Jesus said to this repentant criminal, "I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise." That is the promise of paradise. That is the promise of eternal life. But I point out to you tonight that this promise was given not to both criminals, but just to the one. There are those who would say to us that somehow, some way, God in His great love and mercy will save everyone. Somehow, at the end of the age, God's love will win out over God's righteous wrath, and somehow God will make it possible for everyone everywhere to be saved, and that everyone will be saved. Now, such a doctrine is foreign to the New Testament. Now, such a doctrine may be something we want to hear and want to believe, because if we have loved ones or friends that slip into eternity never having trusted Christ, we would like to think that we would see them again in heaven, but such is not the case. It's a pipe dream. Our only correct authority is the Word of God. And so the Bible teaches that salvation is for believers only. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is the way Paul said it to the jailer in Philippi. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. He wrote the Romans, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Salvation is found in Jesus. It is for believers alone. You see, you had two criminals on the crosses that day, and one was saved and the other died unsaved. And one went to paradise with the Lord Jesus Christ and the other did not. Now there's a third truth. There's a third truth that's found here, and that is that salvation is through Jesus only. Salvation is through Jesus only. This criminal said, recorded in verse 42, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." He called him Jesus. Now, we don't know how much this criminal knew about the Lord Jesus. I think it's very likely that this was his very first encounter with Jesus. Because of his lifestyle, because he was a wicked and evil man, I rather doubt that his path crossed with the Lord Jesus Christ. He was a person of dishonesty. He was an insurrectionist. He was trying to overthrow the government, the Roman government that ruled the Jews. And it's perhaps very likely that he had never had an encounter with Jesus before this day. But as the three of them hung on the cross, this criminal saw something about Jesus, and he saw there's something different about Jesus, and he said, "Jesus, remember me." Now, the word Jesus means Savior. And so he's saying, "Savior, save me. Savior, remember me." Salvation is found in a person, and the person is the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said as much. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me." Such a teaching is becoming increasingly unacceptable in our society. Southern Baptists have been accused of hate crimes because we're trying to win Muslims and Hindus and Jews and Buddhists to faith in Jesus. And last year, our International Mission Board published some prayer guides to guide our people to how to pray for these people and these other religious groups. And there's a great outcry among some of those religious communities that somehow, because we're praying for the conversion of Jews, because we're praying for the conversion of Hindus, because we're praying for the conversion of Muslims and Buddhists, that we're guilty of some kind of hate crime. You know, we live in an era when good is called bad and bad is called good. How sad. The most loving thing that you and I can do for a person of another religious expression is to pray for their salvation through Jesus. Salvation is found in Jesus alone. Our plane was delayed coming out of dock on Thursday, and we had to stay over a day. And the next day we were being transported from the hotel where they'd put us up for the night back to the airport. And I sat on the bus across from a very delightful man with the World Bank from Montreal, Canada, a Jewish man. Struck up a conversation with him. We talked about these very, very issues. And he said, I respect your Christian's belief that Jesus is your way to know God, but he says, I believe that's not the only way. And he couldn't be persuaded, at least not in the short trip from the hotel to the airport, but that is so reflective of Western society today. Now, let this passage from the cross of Christ be a reminder to us that we do not compromise at this point. The day may come when we are persecuted for our belief that salvation is found in Jesus only, but we must never compromise at this point. It is not our responsibility to determine truth. It is our responsibility to believe and practice and proclaim the truth. God tells us what truth is. The promise of paradise was given to this criminal because the cross of Christ, the death of Christ, made it possible for this repentant criminal to be saved. And then finally, salvation is to be with God forever. That's what it means to be saved, to be with God now and to be with God forever. In our faith presentation, we learned that heaven is both here and hereafter. Now, in a sense, when we say heaven is here, we do a real disservice to what heaven is. I mean, the joy of walking with Jesus here is certainly real and precious to us, but it is nothing like what it will be when we're there with Him forever. Salvation is to be with God, both here and forever. Look in verse 43, this wonderful, wonderful promise of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said to this repentant criminal, I tell you the truth, today you will be with me in paradise. Now, this very statement by Jesus refutes two common errors that are believed by some. One is the whole doctrine of purgatory. There are some in Christendom who say that there's a heaven, there's a hell, and eventually all of us will go either to heaven or hell. But before we go to heaven or hell, after this life is over, we must pass through a place called purgatory where we will stay for some years or decades or centuries or whatever while we continue to work out our salvation. It's sort of a second chance, if you please. Now, there is no second chance. Do you understand? Physical death ends any man's chance to change his eternal destiny. We have only one life in which to make preparation to meet God. Jesus didn't say, today you're going to go to purgatory for a few decades and then eventually you'll go to paradise. Jesus didn't offer purgatory to the unrepentant thief as a second chance to work out his salvation. One criminal died and went to hell, and the other criminal died and went with Jesus to paradise. This doctrine also refutes the idea of soul sleep. I know there's so many good and wonderful people that believe in that, but the Bible doesn't teach that. Jesus didn't say, now today you're going to die and your soul's going to sleep for thousands of years, and someday at the end of the age you'll go to paradise. He said, today you will be with me in paradise. Today. Paul put it this way to the Corinthian Christians. He said, to be absent from the body, to be away from the body, he said, is to be present with the Lord. You see, what happens when a Christian dies is we take the physical body and we plant it in the earth. We go to the cemetery and we have a committal and we plant the body in the earth. But the moment of death, the soul and the spirit go to be with the Lord. There is conscious fellowship with God in the paradise of God. Now, someday at the end of the age, when Jesus comes again, there will be a resurrection of all the believing dead, and we will be fitted with glorified resurrection bodies. I was asked when I was in India about cremation, because so many of the people there are cremated. Hindus cremate their dead, and you know, what about a person that dies and they're cremated? How is there going to be a resurrection there? Well, the fact of the matter is you don't cremate a body, you just bury a body. In time, it turns to dust. It's not a matter of how you're buried. God, who is greater, will take and bring back to life these mortal bodies. And the mortal will be clothed with immortality and will receive new bodies. And it'll be greater than anything we've ever experienced here. It is a wonderful promise. And in our glorified resurrection bodies, we will be with Jesus forever. Someone said that there was a pastor preaching, and in his message he was warning people against the danger of procrastination and delay. He was calling out for people not to put off the decision to follow Christ, reminding them that none of us has the promise of another opportunity, that this may be the very last chance that you'll ever have to receive Jesus. Someone out in the audience said, well, what about the thief on the cross? What about the criminal on the cross? An obvious reference to the one who repented and was saved. And the preacher wisely said, which one? Which one? One died and went with Jesus to paradise. The other died and slipped into a Christless eternity without ever hope of salvation. Maybe you're thinking, I know that Jesus is the Savior. I know myself to be a sinner. Someday I'm going to trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, but not today. Not now. I'll do it someday, but not now. I'll wait till the very last. I want to go out and sow my wild oats and live my life the way I want to live my life and do some things that I want to do. And then when I get to be midlife or when I become a retired person or someday I'll trust Jesus. I'll be like the repentant criminal on the cross. And I'll be saved. Well, I remind you that no man can come to the Lord Jesus Christ unless the Holy Spirit draws him. I remind you today that those two on either side of Jesus, they saw, they heard, they experienced the same things. They had the same proximity to Jesus, but only one went to paradise. Only one. Today, if you hear His voice, do not harden your heart. Today is the day of salvation. Today, the Spirit of God speaks and moves and calls, convicts. Don't put Him off. Don't wait too late. Come to Jesus while there's yet time. Let's pray together.